Mark Wheeler is our next speaker. Mark grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Like other Cajun men, he loves to eat good food and make it for others. Mark's lived in Juneau since 1995 and is a former grassroots organizer, member of the Juneau Assembly, and nonprofit executive director. He's now a stay-at-home dad and works part-time on research projects for Big Brothers Big Sisters from his home office. He says his wife, Jessica, should really be up here instead, but his impulses often get the better of him. As Amanda said, Mark produces audio for Mudrooms and is on our storyboard. Please welcome Mark.
Thank you. One of the benefits of doing the audio production is that I will be able to edit out any embarrassing moments from my talk tonight. Not really. I'm going to try to keep it real, and wanted to dedicate my words tonight to my dear friend, John Cowett. Recently, my wife Jessica told me that I have too many hobbies. She might be right. Some of my current activities include unicycling, backyard chicken farming, home charcuterie projects, backcountry skiing, sous vide cooking in a makeshift coffee urn, skate skiing, deer hunting, DJing avant-garde jazz, and swimming in Gastineau Channel, and audio video production. And while my passions give me great joy, they have also at times swung the hinges of my life story. All through school, growing up, I loved math. For one thing, I was good at it, thanks to Montessori preschool. But I loved competing with my elementary school classmates on how many workbooks I could finish before them. But there was also a singular beauty. I loved the cleanness of numbers. There was no uncertainty. And when I was older, the joy of finishing a math proof and taking this mathematical problem and tying it up with a bow gave me a pleasing feeling of completion. But then I got to college, and I remember the first day of school in differential equations 3, my math professor came in and he had a suit and tie on, very straight-laced, obviously came from the engineering program. He said that this class was gonna be so hard that we'd all have to study together in order to pass the class. It was clear to me it wasn't about the beauty of numbers, it was about weeding out the chaff. And upset on principle and not really wanting to consort with these other nerds, I made the financially astute decision to drop math right there and become an English major. Then I added history, and then I took enough Italian classes to have a major if my college offered one, including a year in Bologna. I wasn't really good at any of these subjects, but I thrilled at approaching the text with a critical eye, and I grew to enjoy the labors of writing. I read recently that math majors are the highest paid major coming out of college. How much did I make in my first job out of college? $2.40 a day. I was a volunteer ranger in Denali National Park. And there, living on the Toklat River, I kindled my passion for Alaska's wild lands. After Denali, I had a few crummy jobs back in Louisiana, like cooking the graveyard shift at Waffle House. Then I made my way back to Alaska and came to Juneau to work at Saga as an AmeriCorps volunteer. Talk about crummy jobs. The worst job experience ever had to have been transporting the contents of an outhouse in a makeshift stretcher to a dumping spot in the woods. I am still amazed I did not puke. But finally, I ended up in a job that I was passionate about, working at SEAC, fighting for the Tongass. And for those 5 years working with folks like Bart Kohler, I couldn't imagine being any more passionate about something than fighting for Port Hooton and Burners Bay and Tanaki Inlet. But then, a few years later, I find myself working at Big Brothers Big Sisters. And I couldn't imagine being any more passionate about something than working to help our community's vulnerable children. Yes, I've been motivated by my passions and have followed them and cultivated them without much thought to my fiscal future. With a solid nonprofit work history, I will surely be working until I die. And while they have helped shape the course of my life, none of these passions compares to the love I have for my children. I'm one of these men who have always wanted to have children. I don't know, maybe I wanted to see my genes continue to the next generation like some Darwinian urge. But I always somehow knew that this was a relationship that I could only have with my own flesh and blood. And if I didn't have this experience, I would be missing out on something dear and precious in my brief time on this planet. Luckily, I found someone willing to embark on this journey of parenthood with me. She's also my best editor-in-chief. Jessica and I had our first child, Celia, a little more than a year into our marriage. No. Okay. Okay. But I remember we had our first daughter, Celia, a little more than a year into our marriage. I have a really bad memory, but I remember clearly that day when they told us we had to leave the birth center and go back to our little house on 12th Street. I was the father lion protecting my cub from the bright, harsh world. I can remember taking those few steps to the house, and I was alert for any present dangers. And then someone came up to us, an acquaintance came and said, "Oh, when'd you have your baby?" They obviously thought it was a couple weeks ago that we had our baby. She had no idea that I was about to get that child in the house and protect her with a big supply of Hibiclens. You'd think my steely gaze and my death-like grip on the child carrier would have given her a clue, but there's always time for sidewalk talk in Juneau. Say was born on Alaska Day, October 18th, like Dee said, and after a week of horse trading and indecision, we ended up naming her after Celia Hunter, a strong Alaska woman, the founder of our state's conservation movement. Having Celia enter my life changed me utterly. Being a dad was all that I imagined it would be, with far less sleep than I ever could have contemplated. And working for kids at Big Brothers Big Sisters, I became a big bag of tears. It was bad. I embarrassed my staff constantly. I would cry at staff meetings. It was terrible. Every child I heard a sad story about was Celia in my mind. And the apex of my emotional fragility came at an award ceremony where I bawled like a baby in front of thousands. After three more years of discussion, Jessica and I decided to have our second child. Part of me doubted whether I could ever love another being as much as Celia. I didn't think my heart was big enough. But you know, the heart is an incredibly flexible organ. And when Ferguson came into our life, my heart grew to fit his love just fine. This time it took us 10 days to name Ferguson. Last was 7 for Celia. And I just can't imagine my life without Ferguson. Every year since he's been a little baby, Ferguson has had the croup. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but it's terrible. He has this seal-like cough and this whistling sound with his larynx constricts, and it really scares us to death. I'm getting there. And every time Ferguson has this croup, I have to go into his room at night, sneak in, and feel his warm breath on my hand. Now Celia's 8, just getting to the age where I can embarrass her, like tonight, and Ferguson's 4. My most important job right now is being their dad. Sure, I have a 3/4-time day job that's fulfilling, and I even get to use some of my statistical skills. And I have a litany of hobbies. But nothing rewards me more than my work as a parent. I didn't plan on being a work-at-home dad at this time in my life, but events conspired to make it possible. Thank you, sweetie, for letting me have this job and for getting us health insurance while you sleep on schoolroom floors in Savunga and Chivac. The other day, my daughter had been stewing. At the end of it, she said that nobody cared about her. It hurt me to the bone. How could she think this? How could she think that I didn't care for her? How could she not know that I cared for her and Ferguson more than anything else? So tucking her into bed that night, I told her how much I cared for her. I told her I cared for her more than even my own life. It was probably too heavy, but I said that I would give my life for hers. It's not funny. Yes, it is. And my parents never told me this, but I knew it was true. I mean, when we were driving in the car, my mom's arm would always shoot out when a car parked and came out in front of us. My dad, who got called up for the Army in high school to go to Italy, always told me that if we went to war with Russia, he would go in my place. And I wanted Celia to know that love, too. I'm not the perfect dad. I lose my temper way too much, and I probably use the electronic babysitter way too often, but it's the best job I've ever had. And this time I know I won't be as passionate about any other job. Thank you.